Thomas Merton questions that if you were to take a drink from the Mississippi River, where would you put your glass? At the source of the river in Minnesota? Or down by the drainage point near New Orleans? The answer is, of course, at the source. To connect with God, we should always go to the source. The metaphors in the Bible of water and wells are carrying the message through symbols that our prayer connects us with the divine nature and spiritual energy within us. A well is not a thing or a place, it is a source of spiritual energy. That though we can have that at any time we choose, it can be difficult to contain that energy while we commune with it. Hence the need for the well, or a container from which to draw from the well. Again, not a material thing. If you will bear with me for the metaphorical explanation for a moment, the prayer, if you will, is the form, the container, with which we can approach the divine energy or source. Now, Jesus warned us about praying by rote. Why? Because that traps us to the form. If we obsess about the form, we do not ever reach the spirit that is to be contained therein. It would be like admiring a beautiful glass. The glass, however, is only useful if it is filled with water for us to drink. And the water will be just as satisfying or fulfilling whether it is in a paper cup or a fancy crystal glass. For it is the spirit that counts, not the form. In Divine Science, its principle and practice, we read, we begin to understand that we shall no longer beseech our God for what we desire. Now, we shall pray to realize that God presence, that Christ within ourselves, to feel his love, and to become aware of his purpose for us. We shall pray in order to become more certain of that which is. We shall pray for a fuller realization of God, not primarily for things or for favors from God. Our prayer, if we are at the source, should not be for a particular outcome. Rather, we go to the source and pray to be detached from or released from the attachment from any particular outcome. When we pray this way, the result of communion with God in and of itself is virtually inevitable. I had an experience of going to the source this week. There was some particular difficulty, trouble, if you will, at work, and I wanted to pray about it. I did not want to go in prayer looking for any particular result. I wanted guidance. I wanted communion. I went deep into meditation looking for nothing other than the connection with God. After a period of quiet reflection, with no particular thought coming into mind, I aroused and began to go about the day. I noticed on Facebook one of my friends posted a picture of the radio towers at sunrise. Now, these were towers from a particular radio station where my father worked when I was a teenager. And I began to reflect on the experience that we had had once when painting the catwalk. That catwalk is a structure that allows the engineers to walk between the radio towers, and those towers are erected in swampland because that happens to be the best terrain for sending AM radio signals. That summer, I kept getting stung by a hornet. And we discovered that up underneath the planks of the catwalk was a beach ball-sized hornet's nest. My father, being the handyman that he was, and always too proud to call any service provider for assistance, as he thought he could fix it all himself, and for the record, he usually could, we went back out at dusk. He took a cardboard box with straw and sticks and other combustible materials. He put it on the end of a long stick. We lit the box on fire, and we held it underneath the nest. And the hornets came out and fell into the fire, and the nest ultimately burned up too. I saw that the disturbance from the hornets was now removed. And that was the message to me from the source. The message was, remove the disturbance. If anyone or anything is causing you to be disturbed, remove the disturbance. Now, that does not mean to do what my father did with the hornets. Oh, no. It means remove the thought that the thing could actually be causing disturbance in the first place. You see, when there is a disturbance, we know that we are not thinking about things in the right way. When there is a disturbance, we are making judgments about what we see surrounding us. And if we can release ourselves from making those judgments, the disturbance will disappear. But the disturbance itself carries the lesson. It means we are not on the right path at that moment. We need to get quiet, tune in, go to the source, ask for guidance. Then discern the lesson and be restored to peace. This is the message from Balaam's ass. Here is how it is described in Numbers. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said to those princes, Get you unto your own land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And Balak sent yet again more princes, more and more honorable than the others. And they came to Balaam and said, Thus saith Balak, son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. So come, I pray thee, curse me these people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or to do more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say more unto me. And God came unto Balaam that night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up, but go with them. But yet the word which I say unto thee, thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger was kindled, because he went, and appeared not to be waiting on the words of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord then stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now Balaam was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. The ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. The ass, knowing of the danger, turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Balaam, not seeing the angel of the Lord or the danger, thought the ass was disobeying him and smote her. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and on that side. And when Balaam's ass saw the angel of the Lord, she again thrust herself aside, this time into the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against the wall. Again, this prompted him to smote her. The angel of the Lord went further down the pathway and stood in a narrow place. There was no way to turn, either to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw this, she fell down under Balaam. Now Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. By this point in time, the Lord opened the mouth of the ass and allowed it to speak. And she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? Balaam said, Because you have mocked me. I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. ass said to Balaam, Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, No. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and now he could finally see the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in hand, ready to smite him had he tarried further. And he bowed down in his head and fell flat on his face. The angel of the Lord spoke and said, Why have you smitten this ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Metaphysically, Balaam's ass represents the way life is taking us. It frequently knows better than we do. It knows our true path that we should be on. And when we are disturbed with our donkey, we must take a moment to ask if the source of the disturbance is because our donkey is not going the way we want it to, or is it because our way is not the way, and the donkey is bringing us to a better, more true understanding of the nature of God and God's will. Had Balaam realized this the first time the donkey veered supposedly off course, he would have learned the lesson sooner and without having all the smiting going on. We can tell that we are not at the source when we are disturbed. Paul had a similar experience of being on the wrong path due to his human nature and unable to see what he was doing until he achieved the disturbance of being struck down blind on the road to Damascus. Paul explains it this way. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred, not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but of the other apostles saw I none, except James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed. You see, Paul found the true source of his being. That was Paul's conversion. How do we know when we are at the source? When we are at the source, we are in tune with all that is around us. We are in the flow. Eric Butterworth writes in The Flow of Life the following passage. Once, when I was facing a disturbing situation that had settled like a weight on my shoulders, I was leafing through the scriptures haphazardly, and my eyes suddenly focused on the words, It came to pass. This is an oft-repeated phrase in the Bible that has no special meaning in and of itself. But suddenly the words had a special meaning for me. This challenge did not come to stay. It came to pass. No matter how real or substantial it seemed to be, it would pass away, just as every other undesirable temporal situation before it had done. It had come to bring me something I needed for my own growth into oblivion. So we know when we are at the source, when we can stand back and look at the disturbance and realize it for what it is. Nothing more than a growth opportunity to heal some previously misguided thought about ourselves that we had been holding in our minds. Shall we take a few moments now to make this lesson practical? Let's close our eyes, sit up straight, and take in several cleansing breaths. Release each breath before we take the next. Focus only on the breath. Get quiet. Get still. Listen to words of inspiration that may come to mind. I am. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which lead you by the way that you should go. Hearken to my command. Thy peace is a river, thy righteousness the waves of the sea. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Know me, and ye shall know my Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. These are not my words, but the words of the Father that sent me. The Father dwells in me. It is he who does the work. He that believes on me, the works I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatever you ask in my way, I will do. You ask anything in my way, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter to abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In a little while the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keep them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. You who go to the source shall receive the Father's love, and God will manifest to you. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Joyful praise unto his name.
Go in peace. Remember to go to the source in times of trouble and at all times. Have a blessed week.